Good evening. In the news tonight, the latest on Hurricane Irma, one of the strongest storms ever recorded in the Atlantic. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi gets assurances from Donald Trump that the six-month stay on DACA won't be a roundup of dreamers.
The president, I think, I'm hoping and I'm praying, and I don't say that as a cliche. I am praying that the president really cares about the dreamers or knows that he should care about the dreamers.
Charges were dismissed against Pedro Hernandez, the youth left on Rikers Island for over a year who wouldn't cop a plea. But what about other innocent people held at Rikers?
They falsified these cases and destroyed the lives of many children.
And 17 attorneys general sue the federal government over DACA.
It has a discriminatory, disparate impact on these communities. That is unconstitutional.
With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Thursday, September 7th, 2017. Beginning with Irma, Hurricane Irma hit the Eastern Caribbean on Wednesday with winds up to 185 miles an hour. Last night, it hit Puerto Rico with heavy rains and powerful winds. The U.S. territory's Emergency Management Agency said it left nearly 900,000 people without power and nearly 50,000 without water. 14 hospitals were using generators after losing power, and trees and light poles were strewn across roads. The economic crisis, which engulfs Puerto Rico, is making matters worse. The public power company cut back staff and maintenance. The agency's director warned that some areas could be without power from 4 to 6 months because the infrastructure has already deteriorated so badly. On the forecast track, by tonight, the eye of Irma should continue to move just north of the coast of the Dominican Republic and Haiti to near the Turks and Caicos and southeastern Bahamas, and then be near central Bahamas by Friday. Maximum sustained winds are near 175 miles per hour with higher gusts. Irma is a Category 5 hurricane. It's forecast to remain a powerful 4 or 5 hurricane during the next couple of days. Meanwhile, in the Gulf of Mexico, Hurricane Katia has prompted a hurricane warning. That hurricane is centered about 195 miles northeast of Veracruz, Mexico. The U.S. National Hurricane Center says the storm is stationary with little overall motion expected through late tonight. By early Sunday, Irma is expected to hit Florida, where Governor Rick Scott said he plans to activate 7,000 National Guard soldiers by Friday. Experts have warned that Irma could take the entire Florida East Coast from Miami to Jacksonville and then head into Savannah, Georgia, and the Carolinas, striking highly populated and developed areas. Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that New York is deploying National Guard and state search and rescue teams to help in any way they can. In Florida, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and other Caribbean nations in Irma's path. In other news, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says Donald Trump would sign into law legislation that offers a path to legalization for immigrants brought to the U.S. as children. In her weekly briefing today, the California Democrat said Trump called her this morning and that she sought assurances from him that the six-month stay on DACA would not be a period where dreamers would be rounded up. She says Trump signaled his backing in a White House meeting with congressional leaders Wednesday and in a phone conversation with her today.
Here's the thing. The president, I think, I'm hoping and I'm praying, and I don't say that as a cliche. I am praying that the president really cares about the dreamers or knows that he should care about the dreamers, and that we're going to pass this bill. And we want to do it as soon as possible to strike while the iron is hot, because public opinion is so much in favor. And the church, the faith-based community, the business community, people who care about America are all weighing in on this. And that's but one of the and maybe you got wind of it, some of the concerns that people have when we came out is, well, he said 6 months, and these people are being fearful that it said pack up because you're out of here in 6 months, not we have 6 months and we're going to pass a bill, so take comfort. So that's why I said to him, when he called this morning, I said, thanks for calling. This is what we need. The people really need a reassurance from you, Mr. President, that the six-month period is not a period of roundup, but is just that the DACA is frozen and that these people will not be vulnerable.
Is that why you called, or did you want to discuss other issues?
Well, you know, I'm not famous for going into details of conversations with presidents. We did talk about some other issues, but because he then put out that, and I was reporting to my colleagues, I said, this is what I asked the president to do, and boom, 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 the tweet appeared. That was good. So, but we have to, you know, again, this is when you're dealing on something that relates to immigration and the past experience, you have to build as much trust as possible. Because there's so much fear, and we're hoping that that they won't be rounding up people if their only violation of the law, in some people's view, is status. And this wasn't even a violation of the law that they did, because they came as children. So it's about the children, it's about young people, and we have to pass a bill, and that might mean on whatever vehicle's leaving the station, or maybe we can just do the DREAM Act, free and clear, where collecting what we're doing right now, and we're asking others to do. We're collecting co-sponsorships for Congresswoman Lucille Roybal-Ollers' bill, the DREAM Act. As you know, we passed it in the Democratic House in 2010. It couldn't get 60 votes in the Senate, but it did get a majority of votes in the Senate. So a majority of people in Congress at that time voted for it. We think we have a stronger hand now.
Donald Trump's tweet after the phone call with Pelosi this morning said, for all of those DACA that are concerned about your status during the six-month period, you have nothing to worry about, dash, no action, exclamation point. Meanwhile, 15 states and the District of Columbia sued the U.S. government Wednesday to block Trump's plan to end protection against deportation for young immigrants, saying it was motivated by prejudice against Mexicans. As indication of Trump's bias, the suit cited his previous statement referring to some Mexican immigrants as rapists and his decision to pardon former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Arpaio was convicted of contempt for ignoring a federal court order to stop traffic patrols that targeted immigrants. The lawsuit filed in federal district court in Brooklyn said ending DACA, whose participants are mostly of Mexican origin, is a culmination of Trump's oft-stated commitments, whether personally held, stated to appease some portion of his constituency or some combination thereof, to punish and disparage people with Mexican roots. The AP is quoting legal experts who say the evidence of bias isn't strong in the case involving DACA. Carrie Hong, an immigration expert at Boston College Law School, said it might be able to muck up the works, maybe push off the effective date of the repeal, but I don't see litigation being successful in the same way as the travel ban, referring to the lawsuit earlier this year that limited the Trump ban involving predominantly Muslim nations. However, Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson said he sees similarities between the decision to roll back DACA and the Trump administration's early efforts to ban travel from certain predominantly Muslim countries in the Middle East. And he asks, if a majority of Dreamers were Caucasian, does anyone really think the president would have taken the action he took? New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman said Trump's plan is cruel, short-sighted, inhumane, and driven by a personal bias against Mexicans and Latinos. Along with immigration advocates, Schneiderman spoke at John Jay College.
We are suing the federal government. We are suing to protect the rights of Dreamers, the rights of the employers who rely on them, the schools they attend, and the rights of the millions of friends and relatives who love them. In the complaint, we lay out the significant economic harm DACA repeal will inflict on New York and states all across America, and we show that the effort to unwind this spectacularly successful program has been driven by the president's personal anti-Mexican, anti-Latino bias. Let me be clear. There is no good reason to end this program. This program is incredibly successful. DACA grantees work, 97% of them are in school or working. They contribute to society. They all have clean criminal records or they can't get into the program. This was done not to make us safer and not to comply with the Constitution. This was done with the discriminatory intent to expel hundreds of thousands of immigrants that today are making America great. And as we argued in our successful opposition to Trump's two discriminatory anti-Muslim travel bans, his own words show that he is biased against Mexicans. He launched his campaign by maligning Mexicans as rapists and drug dealers. He said a federal judge could not fairly oversee his Trump University case because the judge was of Mexican descent. During the campaign, he called protesters who carried Mexican flags criminals and thugs. And during a presidential debate, when pressed about his immigration plan, Trump said, quote, "We have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out." Now, 78%, more than 78% of DACA grantees are of Mexican heritage. More than 93% are Latinos. This case is based on the fact that not only has the president and others in the federal government expressed a discriminatory animus for these actions, but it has a discriminatory, disparate impact on these communities. That is unconstitutional. Furthermore, we are not going to allow Dreamers to be vilified and scapegoated by this administration. These are the people we want in the United States.
Plaintiffs in the lawsuit include New York, Hawaii, Washington, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, Iowa, New Mexico, North Carolina, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Virginia. Under Trump's plan, people already enrolled in DACA remain covered until their permits expire. If that happens before March 5th, they are eligible to renew them for another 2 years, as long as they apply by October 5th. But the program isn't accepting any new applications. Last night, Senate Democrats held the floor to discuss Trump's plan to end DACA. Senator Elizabeth Warren said America is in trouble. Government works great for people at the top, works great for corporations who can hire lobbyists and lawyers, but for everyone else, America isn't working so well. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren.
For decades now, expenses have gone up while wages have been flat. Economic opportunity is slipping away from too many Americans. And we know how to fix what's happening by kicking the lobbyists and the lawyers and the rich donors and the giant companies out of the room and putting working families first. The President of the United States isn't interested in doing that. His first major legislative initiative was to try to boot tens of millions of people off their health insurance. His second major legislative initiative is to try to give giant tax breaks to rich folks and enormous corporations while working people pay for it. I suppose it's not surprising that the president has no intention of helping working families. After all, he is a rich donor, and he personally profits every single day from a giant company that he named after himself. So here's Donald Trump, a man who promised over and over during the presidential campaign that he would be on the side of working people. Here's Donald Trump doing the exact opposite of what he told the American people he would do. It is the exact opposite of what the American people need him to do. And sooner or later, it's going to catch up with him. President Trump wants to delay that reckoning for as long as possible. And from the day he first announced his presidential campaign, it's been obvious how he plans to do it, by turning us against each other, by telling everyone that the real problem in America is the neighbor who doesn't look like you, the coworker who doesn't worship like you, the guy in the grocery store who doesn't sound like you. Nowhere has this been more obvious than on the politics of race. In November, President Trump named Jeff Sessions the man considered too racist to be a federal judge as our nation's attorney general. In January, President Trump rolled out an unconstitutional Muslim ban. And in August, after white supremacists marched in the streets, President Trump defended hate. And also in August, he used his first presidential pardon to shield a racist former sheriff who broke the law. The president continued his campaign to turn us against each other when he decided to end the DACA program. Now, DACA gives 800,000 young people who were brought to the United States as children the chance to live, work, and get an education and become valuable members of our society. The president said he would end the program. That means over 800,000 young people who've been here their entire lives, who came out of the shadows to contribute to our economy, could be deported to countries they barely know. Divide and conquer is an old story in America. It's a cold political calculation, and those with money and power have used it time and time and time again to keep us fighting with each other, fighting over religion, fighting over race, fighting over anything that keeps us from coming together to fight back against a rigged system.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren making the case for passage of the DREAM Act. Meanwhile, Mexico has told a UN human rights panel it will welcome hundreds of thousands of undocumented people living in the United States with arms wide open. Daniel Johnson reports.
Miguel Ruiz Cabañas, Undersecretary for Multilateral Affairs and Human Rights, was speaking to the UN Committee on the Protection of the Rights of All Migrant Workers in Geneva.
Obviamente es una decisión personal, individual.
It is a personal decision. Each person will have to decide whether they are to remain in the United States or to go back to Mexico. However, we want them to know that they have the option and that we have created programs, policies, and taken the decision to ensure that we will welcome with arms wide open.
Los recibiremos con los brazos abiertos.
The ambassador's comments follow the U.S. decision to abolish protection for young migrants, the so-called DACA program. He said that the best way to counter discrimination against migrants was to recognize their positive contribution to host communities. In monetary terms, they produced 9% of global turnover, some $6.5 trillion, he added. And on the issue of a proposed wall between Mexico and the US, the ambassador said that his country would not pay a single cent towards it. Daniel Johnson, United Nations, Geneva.
And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio. This is WBAI in New York. The case against 18-year-old Pedro Hernandez was dismissed yesterday. The young man was sent to Rikers at age 17 in connection with a September 2015 shooting. It struck a 15-year-old boy in the left ankle outside a Morrisania supermarket. Hernandez maintained his innocence and he refused to take a plea. The teen stayed in jail until late July of this year when the Robert Kennedy Human Rights Group bailed him out. The Hernandez family hired a private investigator who found witnesses who claimed someone else fired the gun. Bronx DA Darcel Clark said with a multidisciplinary team, they discovered an unanticipated witness and evidentiary issues, including that one of the original witnesses is no longer cooperative. In a statement, Clark said the investigation also revealed that information originally provided to my office during the initial investigation of this case has now proven to be inconsistent and contradictory. Further, the victim of the shooting is unable to identify who shot him. There's a public outcry to further investigate cases by former Detective David Terrell, who worked in the Morrisania Bronx neighborhood. Terrell, who was stripped of his gun and badge last year amid allegations of domestic abuse, has been sued more than a dozen times over the past decade. DA Clark says she will not tolerate misconduct by law enforcement, that the Public Integrity Bureau is investigating allegations related to this matter and will go wherever evidence leads.
needs it. The Hernandez family detective who uncovered evidence showing the innocence of Pedro Hernandez is Manuel Gomez. He's a former NYPD cop and Army Ranger intelligence officer.
I'm happy that after a year and a half worth of work, that I've been vindicated and the district attorney dismissed this case. But again, the children of the Bronx, there's 49 other kids who've been wrongfully arrested, and these cases have been falsified by Detective Daniel Brady, Detective David Terrell, and Assistant District Attorney David Slott. I want to be sure that some kind of investigation is being done and that they're removed from their positions. They've committed crimes, and so these voiceless children have justice.
Hernandez said he's happy to get on with his life, to make his mom proud, and to go to college. And finally, Kate Millett, the activist, artist, and author of Sexual Politics, which was published in 1970, has died. She was 82 years old. She died of a heart attack in Paris. Millett's book was published in the midst of feminism's second wave, which built on achievements of suffragettes a half century earlier. Women challenged assumptions about women in nearly every aspect of society and spearheaded change. Lena Dunham is among Millett's 21st century fans. She tweeted, "So sad to hear about Kate Millett's passing. She pioneered feminist thought, destigmatized mental illness, wore massive fashion glasses." The book Sexual Politics chronicled centuries of legal, political, and cultural exclusion and diminishment of women, from penis envy, the theory of Sigmund Freud, to portrayals of women as disruptors of paradise in the Bible and Greek mythology. She labeled traditional marriage an artifact of patriarchy, and she concluded with chapters condemning misogyny of authors Henry Miller, D.H. Lawrence, and Norman Mailer. She also expressed faith in the redemptive power of women's liberation. And those are some of the stories in the news this Thursday, September 7th, 2017. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.
You know, girls, it's great to live in a democracy today, where freedom is everywhere. But girls, we often take this freedom for granted. Freedom of speech, freedom of thought, and freedom of action. But you know, girls, just because a bunch of men signed that Declaration of Independence in 1776 doesn't mean that freedom was for men alone. Oh, no, you take Tom Jefferson, Ben Franklin, John Hancock. There's a hell of a guy for you right there. All these men had wives. They probably had a few broads on the side, too. These women wanted freedom just as much as their men did. But, gals, I wonder, do we? I think it's time that we women thought about it a bit. Hell, I think it's time we did something about it. So come on, fellow females of the 20th century. Be glad that you're an American. Proclaim your freedom. Stand at attention. Pledge allegiance. And bounce your boobies. Difference if they're big or small, as long as you give him your all. Bounce your boobies, come on, honey, bounce them up and down. Bounce your boobies, come on, bounce your boobies, honey. Come on, loosen the bra that binds you. Take it off if you feel like it. Come on, bounce your boobies. There we go, doesn't that feel good? Bounce your boobies. You know, girls, men aren't the only people in the world today who have something to give. But it sure looks like it sometimes. Just look around you. Men stick out all over the place. Big fat cigars. Big fat stomachs. And just where they should stick out, where is it? Yes, girls, we know what we've got and we know what they're worth. So come on, gals. Let's get into the swing of things. Give your boobies some freedom. All together now.